All right. Can you take more? You can take more?
Yeah.
How much can you take?
Keep going, bro.
Oh, I'm going to go long. I said, Romy's not here. She's probably praying in the bathroom for me. You know, I really, really felt intimidated. I just feel Mark and Bertie, this is such a deep well. Mm-hmm. And an experience of sharing this gospel. And I feel, you know, like two huge giants fighting and I'm there trying to get a hit, you know. So, but...
Yeah, you have the same mentor.
Right, I got the Holy Ghost.
Same Spirit God, brother.
And He will teach you. You know, He may even teach you stuff I'm not even mentioning. So that's good. I'll trust Him. Good. You know, He encouraged me with...
Good.
Yeah. No, the guys on the couches, if they fall asleep, yeah. I'll send you on the hard chairs, eh? Good. Good. Yeah. I started already. It's recorded, Mike. Yeah. You know, God gave me this vision or picture this morning. I prepared. I felt totally helpless. You know, if I'm alone and I know some people are coming, I received the word, I delivered it, I know it will feed them. But here I felt in competition, I need to measure up. Right? No. So, you know, in a building, the gospel is the foundation. Jesus is the foundation of this building that God has put together. And if I ever work on construction, and you have the framer building the walls, and then the electrician and the plumber, and they seem to look at different angles. And they have different functions in the kingdom. And that's so beautiful. We don't have to compare ourselves or try to preach the same thing better. We just want to share what's on our heart. What God put in our heart. And that's what I want to share. And I believe it will bless you. And I was so blessed. And just being together, even when we eat together. The sharing, the talking, the fellowship, getting to know each other. It's awesome. And this is so beautiful. I believe we will have conferences like this every year. And in a way, it will be nice when it grows. It may outgrow this building. We may have in the Whistler Convention Center 2,000 people coming in a few years for the West Coast Grace Convention. But it may be a sad thing too, because those little gatherings, they're so beautiful, because you really get to know each other. And tomorrow, hopefully in the afternoon, Mike will teach us a little bit how to pray for each other and hear from the Lord words of encouragement and words of knowledge. And so it's beautiful. We want to treasure this situation we're in. So I kind of, in my mind, what I was thinking, the law, we're really hammering the law for good reasons, because the law kept us in bondage. But, you know, some of us may even think or are reminded that David saying, I love your law. Oh, how I love your commands, right? And I just looked up one scripture, and I just want to just look from a different angle, and I totally agree. Like, the law was a terrible slave master, kept me in bondage, and since I heard the gospel of grace, I started to be able to walk out of sins and bondages, and I was changed in a lot of areas of my life. And this mindset, this law mentality, and that's kind of, I want to draw a difference. In Romans, most of the time the law is mentioned, it's a negative thing. There's in one scripture I know where it says the law is holy. You can go there. It's Romans 7, verse 12. I just want to find it myself. And so what I want to see is the difference. See, why was the law given? To show us that we were rotten, right? And the way I look at the commandment, let's say the Ten Commandments and some of those illustrations, They were showing us what Jesus would not do. Like Jesus wouldn't steal. He wouldn't covet or lust or commit. Be unfaithful to somebody he's committed. Those are things he would never do. And that's God kind of engraved in a rock. Some of the things Jesus would never do. And so that part of the law in Romans 7 verse 12 is said is holy. The Romans 7, let me read it. Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy. What is holy? Jesus is holy, right? Set apart, sanctified. The law is holy, blameless. The law is beautiful. See, I love studying the law. The law, like what's written, what you should do and shouldn't do. But I don't feed on it. And I don't try to live it out in my own ability anymore. And so when Romans talks about that negative part of the law, it's maybe a better way of saying would be maybe a law mentality. And for short, they just say the law, right? But you know, those Ten Commandments, when you look at it, it kind of shows what Jesus wouldn't do. It helps you understand the character of God. But it's not for us trying to be like God. Or try without being connected with Him. We don't want to, favored saying, try to do what Jesus would do. What would Jesus do, right? Bad idea. Right? Because you want to live in Jesus. You don't want to try to be like Him. And so that part of the law, you know that, it's the law was leading us to Jesus. I love the law. It was leading me to Jesus. But I don't love living under the law. Right? Because a lot of times, because I know the Bible and the scriptures, or even a new believer, I think it's good if he understands the basics, what the law says, if he has a little bit of knowledge. There's nothing wrong with it. Because as Jesus leads you, it's easy to, this must be Jesus. But never try to do it yourself. And so that's kind of what was in my heart. I kind of was wrestling with that. And I want to, with this in mind, the passage God gave me is 2 Peter 1, 4 to 10. And I just want to read through it. And we probably read those scriptures, all of us, with a law mentality. With a mentality to perform, to live up to it. But I hope we could read it in a different way. Reading it knowing we are in Christ, and as we live in that knowledge of being loved by God, those are the things that will start to flow out of us. So here in 2 Peter 1, 4, by which is the Holy Spirit, has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through this you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we became partakers of the divine nature because of His promise. See, when God speaks a promise, it's more than a promise. It's a self-fulfilling force. He spoke that we will be His children by believing in Jesus. But simply receiving that gift, His nature is in us and starts to produce in us His goodwill and His pleasure. Verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, love. For if those things are yours and abound to you, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, as we look at Jesus, as we listen to this gospel, we expect fruit to come out. But we are not trying to produce fruit. As we listen to the gospel, fruit will happen. It will come out of it. Out of us knowing how much God loves us. How much He cares for us. And I know years ago, this passage was very dear, and I really try to be diligent. I realize I just have to read more. I have to pray more, right? And it's just somehow, it's just promise in such a, then if anybody else wouldn't read as much as me, I would condemn him, right? And it's such a slavery, right? But still, there is this part of being diligent. So what do I have to be diligent? Because I see in this whole passage, when you read on in Peter, he at the end in the second chapter, there is, he goes on, second chapter, verse 20. And he talks about people like dogs, they went back to their old ways. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. You know, years ago, I just walked with the Lord, things fell off, like beer and smoking, and it wasn't an issue anymore. It just, oh, he loves me. It just, things were great. Started to be involved in the church. I started to lead worship and went to Bible study, helped the single moms, and I really just did the stuff, you know. And I wanted to be more diligent, get up early and pray a bit more, and prayed for a wife, and she came, and you know, things were happening, but suddenly pot became an issue again. I worked in a home, and just it had, you know. And because my mindset, I was still under that, in that law mentality. I didn't understand to allow that grace to flow through me. I saw I was saved by grace, and now I felt I had to start to produce. You know, because that's good, I'm saved by grace, now I have to become a good Christian, right? I have to be a disciple now. And suddenly, those things started to sneak up on me, smoking back in my life. And then after a while I found a certain measure of grace and boom, it fell off. A couple of years later, drinking was a problem. And then I struggled with that for a few years again. And so when I read this passage here, I felt, oh, you know, maybe I'm one of those dogs, you know, that just condemned, you know. They just fell back after they knew, you know, they knew this grace, you know, they were clean, and now I've slipped back into the bondage, right? And I didn't understand it right. And today, you know, when I see it, you know, with all of my might, I have to guard this gospel.
Yes.
That through what Jesus did, I am saved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those things I may struggle with, those sins that want to entangle me, they fall off.
Thank you, Lord.
Because see, there is in all of you, there is still a little something, somewhere. You may don't know it. You're deceived. You know? Unless you're like Jesus, there is still stuff in you. That's because of a legalistic mindset. It's not quite like Jesus yet. And that's why we need Jesus. That's why we need this gospel. That we are saved because of what He did. But if I fall back into a mentality of, now I have to measure up. And that's why I love the law. Because I knew the law that says you should not lust after a woman, let's say. I realized, it became a little gauge to me. It showed me, oh, you know what? You're backsliding. Not into the sin or that you don't obey the Ten Commandments, but into that law mentality. And so, you know, I maybe not look at it the right way, but that's kind of how I see it. You know, in Romans, he snatched one of my verses. Romans 6, 14, for sin shall have no dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. That became a real crucial verse to me, because whenever I sense that sin had a pull, that I had those desires and they wanted to pull me in a certain direction, I just went back to Bertie's tapes. I just would listen to them again and again. Just wash my mind. See, if I have a law mentality and I read the New Testament, all I see is more laws, more rules, more things to measure up to. And I'm so glad that, you know, years ago, Jim Richard, I remember listening tapes, and it brought me some freedom. But I see we have to remain in that place where we understand. Jesus, when he talks about the parable of the sower, he makes that mention of he who understands the word. We need to understand this gospel. We need to understand what happened on the cross. That he paid for all of our sins.
Yeah.
For everybody's sins. We need to understand it. And we need to know that we are loved no matter what. All we have to stay is in that place of receiving his love. Of just being loved by him. And not falling back into a law mentality. See, sin will enslave us and will make us feel guilty again. But Jesus, on the cross, he provided that we can be totally free from any sin consciousness.
Mm.
We have to... Sin consciousness, and I mean, I can't even try to explain it the way you two do. It's just... It totally separates us from God. If I allow a sin consciousness in my life, it would separate me, and my connection with God is what will make me to overcome issues.
Amen.
It will make me the person, you know, that I like to be, because I have God's nature in me. I want to be pure. I want to be a godly man, right?
Yeah.
But sometimes I don't know how, because my mind fell back into that law mentality. And so I just want to encourage you to really be diligent.
Yes.
When you read those scriptures, when you read the Bible, watch how you read it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really see Jesus? He paid for you. He did it all for you. You know, when they immunize us, let's say, against certain diseases, they take a little bit of the disease, put it in you, and you start to build immune bodies or whatever against it. And I want to warn you, that you would not taste a little bit of revival, or a little bit of grace message, and then somehow grow indifferent to it, and then kind of fall back into that law mentality. You can literally build antibodies. And so really be diligent. Start to look in your life and ask God to show you wherever we are changed by the renewing of our mind.
Mm.
And I want to preach this gospel. See, legalism, if you give a little bit of gospel and people will come and listen and they feel blessed by it, and then you give a little bit of law, a little bit of... It's not wrong to give them instruction how to build a business or how to communicate in marriage. But you always want to bring this freeing gospel in it. You know, between you and God, it will not, if you do it wrong, it will not affect your relationship. Because Jesus already paid. You can give advice how to live better, maybe what's healthier, how to eat and how to exercise. Those are good things. But if you add a little law, you start controlling those people. And if you want to build quickly a group, I saw it lots. It can build quick results to have quickly a group, to have quickly a... And we want to share this good news. And it doesn't matter how it looks. Mm. Somehow, we see, the human nature is so used to the law, to that trying to perform.
Yeah.
Give me some rules. Give me some steps. Give me some... And then I'm going to do it, right? And we're going to try harder and give me another kick in the butt. And,
yeah.
and people want to have that. And we want to avoid it. So, where we are. Help me, Jesus. Can you take more? A little bit?
Yeah.
Good.
No,
hey, you have a friend. No, it's okay. You know, if to his friends, he will give it while they are asleep. So just don't snore, eh? Yeah. See, God is not about behavior modification.
Yeah.
But a life changed through a relationship with him. But he doesn't want to change us. He knows He knows that because of his nature, we want to change.
Yes.
And he enables us.
Yes.
You know, two days ago I talked about responsibility. In God's vocabulary, there is that word doesn't exist. We often see, this is my responsibility. And as soon as we say that, we put us in the forefront. What we need to see is, we want to respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And He will enable us to do it. But we never want to see us having responsibilities.
Yeah.
We want to cast all our cares on Him.
Yeah.
He cares for us. I just want to quickly go to Genesis 2 verse 17. I want to look at the tree in the garden. So here, God made this beautiful garden, and Genesis 2 verse 16, is that where I want it to be? 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Jesus, when he lived here on earth, his decisions, his choices, they were not based on learned observation. Like Jesus, he didn't observe his uncle doing the wrong thing and then the consequences, and then he learned, I'm not going to do this.
Yeah.
Right? His decisions were based on the Father's instructions. He was connected with the Father, and he would listen to the Father. The Father would instruct him, would teach him. And we need to guard that we don't make our decisions based on experiences. We want to always rely on the Holy Spirit. He will lead us. He will guide us. And so here in the garden, Jesus told them they are not allowed to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I just was thinking about that. If Adam would have lived in the garden, he would have eaten from the tree of life, which represents Jesus. And he would have grown up, matured. God, I'm sure, would have started to instruct him, this is evil. Like, because the tree of evil, of good and evil, was in the garden. It represents Satan's fallen state, I would say. Or something connected to the enemy. That's the only thing that was evil.
You're right.
And so God would have told him, when he is ready, when he's mature, you know, this is Satan, he rebelled, it's bad, you know, he would probably have given him some understanding. But he wasn't ready for that understanding. But what Adam did, he started to feed on it. And for us too, you know, to have an understanding, when you know, if somebody asks, you know, why should I not take my neighbor's stuff? A child, for example, right? You say, don't, this is the neighbor's apple tree. Don't take it, right? So the child may ask, why not? And then you explain, you know, it's not wrong. But you don't teach the child to perform, you know, to feed on the knowledge of good and evil. And it kind of helped me to understand, you know. It's not wrong to understand. It's hurtful in a marriage if I would go with other women. It's okay to understand that this is not a good way of doing life, right? But I don't feed on that law, try to get life out of it. Because when you eat something, you're trying to get life out of it, right? Yeah. So if I keep myself pure from some of the stuff that's maybe presented in this world, I don't try to get life out of that.
Yeah.
Accomplishment to keep myself pure. Because my life comes out of my relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
And I saw that it really helped me, because, see, in this life, you have to make good choices. If I want to have a harvest next summer in our garden, I have to go and plant salad. In this life, nothing will function unless you go and sow, you do something, you make choices, right? You dress warm in the winter. There's certain things you must do, and you teach your children. But though that's not the source of your life.
Yeah.
Your life is your relationship with God, and it's totally based on what Jesus did. And I just felt, you know, because I remember when I first really listened to this gospel of grace, I started to struggle. How do I train my children? Mm. I have to give them the law somehow, right? Because if they misbehave, you punish them. That's the law, right? And I don't want to cower back and not discipline them anymore. In fact, listening to the grace message freed me to become a little... Romy, you can confirm that, that I started to stand up against them. I was more cowardly before even, right? Because I realized now, hey, we're in this world, I don't accept this. And I started to stand up more. And I don't know, I hope this helps some of you, just to sort some of this out, right? Because it's hard to change our way of thinking. It takes a lot of groundwork. It's agonizing. It's frustrating. And you have to change the way you're thinking. But we are changed by the renewing of our mind. From glory to glory. I really know God wants to just show His goodness, His glory to His people in a new and living way. I believe the church is at the edge of a reformation. When all the people, they will start to understand the grace of God. And in many different ways, God is showing His goodness. And suddenly the old stuff, that legalism, it's like a dirty rag. We won't even want it. The kingdom of God, the light, is stronger than the darkness. Praise God. And I also want to encourage us, you know, don't be afraid of having, in some areas, a little bit of law. Don't be afraid, because you have it. But yield to the grace. And if you see it, deal with it. Think the way Jesus thinks, right? But I just feel almost like some of you maybe start to get a little bit afraid. Oh, you know, maybe something wrong with me. Yes, there is. That's why Jesus died for you, right? So it's okay, you know. But embrace this gospel. Get addicted. It says in the Acts somewhere, it says they addicted themselves to the gospel.
Yeah.
You know, you can addict yourself to it. It's healthy for you. It's good for you. Just get totally addicted. And when you're addicting yourself to the gospel, you start to throw up when you get something else. You know? Because it just, you're so addicted to this love, to this forgiveness message that, yes, I did wrong a little bit, like, it's just if suddenly in a conference they start to minister the law on you, and it makes you almost throw up. It just you don't like it, right? You won't. You may listen to it, and there's maybe some good advice in it, but you won't feed on it, because our life comes from Jesus Christ. You know, in this back to Peter, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self control, or all those things. I kind of thought of it this way. You know, when you play a video game, now we don't have enough teenagers to actually identify with that. You have different levels. You play the game and you use those buttons and you go from one level to the other. And when you play the game, you don't focus on the level to get to the other level. You focus on the game. Your hands push the button again, right? And I feel that's how it is with this gospel. You don't focus on getting on this to add to virtue of self-control. Oh, I have to add self-control, and now I have to add wrong, you know, like. All you do is just keep playing that game. You just keep feeding on that gospel. Every day, I preach the gospel to myself every day.
Yeah.
You know, if I make a mistake, if I do something wrong, if I yell at Romy or at my workers, or if I do something bad, I just thank you, Jesus. I'm forgiven. Jesus, you paid for me. I am a child of God. I am a new. I preach to myself. We preach to each other at the Bible study. No matter what, if it's on marriage or it's on how to receive healing or whatever, the gospel has to be preached every time. Every song should have the gospel in it. Or, you know, like, and that's for me like playing that game. And you can't, you just, yeah, maybe you just, I believe that is, you have to mature to sometimes get on a, you know, to see a breakthrough in a certain area. But it's not by measuring up. It's by getting this thinking adjusted. To see yourself loved and forgiven in the hands of God. And suddenly, ooh, and something falls off. This is, it's easy now. Right? Before you tried so hard, it never worked. And suddenly, wow, this is actually not that hard. It's so, you know, I just feel so free. I just go with Jesus. And so we want to be encouraged, all of us, just to keep feeding on that gospel. Yeah. And to bless one another. And that's all I got. Because I can tell they're full. just go enjoy each other. Rest a bit. Go for a walk. And tonight, we'll have more good word.
And at 5:45 we have some dinner.
Yes, dinner 5:45. And you know, if you have stuff, you know, just ask for prayer. Whoever you send, you know, you want you to pray for, and just share and have questions, ask, you know, and it's a good time for that. So, thanks again, and praise the Lord. Let me just pray quickly. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, thank you so much for your love and goodness. Thank you for what you're doing in us. You started a good work. You are the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus, it's by your faith we live. Thank you, Lord. And so I just ask that you just work in all of us what needs to be worked. I ask that the right words would come out, and that we would just see you like never before. And we would enjoy this new life that you came to give us. Thank you, Jesus. We love you and we praise you. Amen.